Blog Talk Radio.
Well, hello, ladies and gentlemen. We would like to welcome you to Living Well with Sickle Cell. This is our Blog Talk Radio live showcase, and we're here tonight with Beverly Sinclair and Jackie George, and I'm going to tell you a little bit about them in a second. But first and foremost, let me just tell you, we're the Sickle Cell Foundation of Georgia. We're located at 2391 Benjamin E. Mays Drive, Southwest, Atlanta, Georgia, 30311. The telephone number is 404-755-1641. And you can always visit us online at www.sicklecellga.org. The hours of operation are from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. Monday through Friday. And occasionally we are here on Saturdays because we do have many events throughout the year. Well, ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you, I am really excited. I have two certified hemoglobinopathy counselors here with me this evening. And they're here to really discuss sickle cell disease, the sickle cell trait. As well, they're going to give you some knowledge about the programs and services that we offer here at the Sickle Cell Foundation of Georgia. And they're also going to tell you about their day-to-day interaction with many of our clients, many of our patients, as well as our doctors, and internally, the staff and the position that they hold. So I want to first start by saying hello, Beverly.
Hello, Tabitha. How are you today?
I'm doing just fine. How are you?
I'm great.
Well, Beverly, I know that you do a lot of different presentations on behalf of the Sickle Cell Foundation of Georgia. But before we go into that, if you don't mind, can you first just introduce yourself and that you perform here in Sickle Cell Foundation of Georgia?
Well, Tabitha, as you know, I've been quite a while. I've been here for 30-plus years.
Woo! 30 years.
Don't make me sound so old. But we have a lot of things that go on at the foundation, but basically I'm the health educator and also the hemoglobinopathy counselor, and I'm responsible for doing education presentations. It could be at schools, colleges, churches, civic organizations, you name it. You know, anywhere they feel the need to want education about sickle cell, I'll go.
Okay.
We also participate in health fairs. As you know, there are a lot of health fairs in the city, whether they are put on by corporations or churches or fraternities or what have you. We participate in the fraternities and sororities and church activities as well.
Okay.
Yes. So we do a lot of events throughout the year. We do them on a first-come, first-served basis because we very small staff, so we can only do so many. But if you get your information in time, your request in time, we will try to accommodate you.
Well, tell them, how do they go about getting their request in to you, and how long does it take? I mean, is it 48 hours, 96 hours? I mean, how much time do they need?
Well, I would suggest that if you have an event that's coming up, that you get the information to us as far in advance as you can. I would prefer that you would at least get them into us at least 2 months out. Because
okay.
We get bombarded by so many requests. And you can go to our website, and then there's a request for health fairs that's on our website, and fill that information in, and then I will get back with you to let you know whether or not we'll be able to accommodate your request.
Okay. So, Beverly, you said that you go out into the field and you do a lot of events, and you particularly was talking about health fairs that you do. Exactly what does that mean? What do you do at this health fair?
Well, sometimes we get a request for information, and so we'll go and set up an information table and provide information to individuals on sickle cell disease, sickle cell trait, and other abnormal hemoglobins. And sometimes we'll get a request for us to do sickle cell testing. So it just depends on what you're requesting for us to do.
Oh, okay, okay. Well, Beverly, let me stop for a second. Let's go ahead on and have Jackie join us in the conversation. You know, Jackie, I know that you two have been at the Sickle Cell Foundation for a while. So if you don't mind, please introduce yourself. Let everyone know how long you've been here and what's your main key function here at the foundation.
Sure, Tabitha. I'm Jackie George, and I'm a hemoglobinopathy counselor here at the foundation. I've been at the foundation August of this year. It will be 39 years. And I don't say that we're old. I say that we're mature in age. We don't say old anymore. We say mature in age.
Mature in age, okay. We got that one. Check.
So everybody out there, when people call you old, just say that you are mature in age.
Mature in age.
We're not old.
I'm going to be using that next month.
But my key function at the foundation is to deal with the newborn screening program. The foundation was very active in starting the newborn program, the newborn screening program in the state of Georgia, which the meetings and talks began in 1979, which we were a part of. The program went into effect in 1980.
Okay.
So since 1980, we've had a subcontract with the state to provide information to parents when their babies are born, to send them information on the different test results, whether it's sickle cell trait or C-trait or the alpha thalassemia trait. So we make sure that individuals have this information and parents can keep that information with their baby's important papers.
Okay, so let me ask you, you said the newborn screening program, and you said it was started in 1980,
yes.
And the foundation was very much a part of that.
Yes.
But you also said that, okay, with that newborn screening program, is every child in the state of Georgia tested and provided a result for?
Yes, everybody in the state of Georgia are given this test.
Okay.
It's not based on race or anything, so regardless of your race, whether you're black, white, Asian, Hispanic, it doesn't matter.
Okay.
All babies are given this test. It is a Georgia law.
Okay.
But not only are they tests for, we don't like to say the test for sickle cell, we like to say the test for hemoglobin type.
Okay.
In other words, when we're born, we're either going to fall, as far as hemoglobin type is concerned, in one of three categories. We're either going to be normal, which means you have nothing.
Okay.
No trait, no disease.
Okay.
Or you will have some type of trait, or you will have some type of disease. There's no in-between.
Okay.
Like you may hear people say, well, I got a trace. No, it's not T-R-A-C-E. It's T-R-A-I-T. You can't have a trace of anything.
Okay.
You have it or you don't.
Okay.
So as far as those test results are concerned, so and then once we get the information here, we make sure that parents get that information. So it's very, very important for parents to retain this information with the baby's important papers.
So let me just ask you, when you say you make sure that every parent gets it, so the foundation sends out what, an email, a notice? How are the parents notified?
Well, what we do, we send the information. First of all, let me back up and tell you how the system starts, how we get the information.
Okay.
Once the baby's born in the hospital, they will do a heel stick, and they will put this blood on a little card that's provided by the state. Once the blood is collected and is sent to the state lab will perform the test. All babies that have some type of trait will be sent to our office, and we make sure parents get the information. At one time, many years ago, from like 94 to about 2003, 2004, we used to send out normal cards. But during that time, we also had a cut with state funding, so we had to cut that service.
Okay.
So, but we used to send out normal results, too. So right now, what we do, we send out those test results to parents who have a child with some type of trait. Let's say if a child has sickle cell trait, they will get a letter saying, you know, congratulations on your baby, that the baby was tested through the state of Georgia newborn screening program, and we'll provide you information on it. So they'll get a little booklet. If it's sickle cell trait, it'd be on sickle cell trait. We also send a little card, like a little business card, on the front of it say what the baby has, and on the back it says that it was done by the state of Georgia.
Okay.
So that's information that they can retain in the child's results. And then let's say if they move, the parents move to another state, we gave that little card, so they have that little card, they can take that with them.
Okay.
So let the doctor know in another state what their child has.
So you're sending a letter to all of the parents in the state of Georgia to make them aware of what their child's results are.
Now, let's just say, well, a little bit, but sometimes it's a little special situation. Let's say if a child is born where the parents live in Aiken, South Carolina, but the child was born in Augusta. So we would still send that information to them, even though it's going to South Carolina.
Okay.
Or if they were born, say, in Columbus, but they were born, but they live in Alabama, we'll still have the results here, and we'll send it out.
Okay, so you're going to send out the results of every child, no matter where the parents are.
Right.
Okay, as long as the child was born here. Oh, okay.
If they have somebody visiting, and the mother really lives in New York, we will still send the information.
Oh, wonderful. Okay.
They will get that information regardless of where the person lives.
So I'm a parent. I'm at home. I just received my result letter, and I'm saying, oh, my goodness, what is this? I don't understand what this is. So I'm going to pick up the phone. And I'm going to say, Sickle Cell Foundation of Georgia, I need to speak to somebody. I just got this letter, and they're saying my child has this C trait. I don't understand. I read this book. I don't understand. I need to come in and see someone. What do I need to do? You going to make an appointment?
You can come in. or we can sit and talk on the phone. A lot of times I try to sit here right then.
Oh, over the phone.
Because parents, well, we can do either one.
Okay.
But when parents are real upset and they really want to know something, you know, trying to wait and make an appointment come, that doesn't usually work.
Okay.
So we try to make sure that we take care of their anxiety and the stress to let them know that it's not a disease. And in the case of C-trait, as you said, that has nothing to do with sickle cell.
Right, okay.
At all.
Okay.
And that's what a lot of people think. Most people think there's only three results when they take this test. Normal, sickle cell trait, and sickle cell anemia. No. Actually, when a person takes this test, it's to see out of 700-plus possibilities what a person has. So you got the category of trait and the category of disease.
Trait and disease. Okay. I think we have that. But Jackie, in a nutshell, in a very short summary, can you summarize for us what is the difference between the sickle cell disease and the sickle cell trait?
Okay. Well, two things you just said. Just think about what you just said.
They're both the same, aren't they?
No.
Sickle cell disease, sickle cell trait.
You said sickle cell in both of them, but one ended with a disease and one ended with a trait.
Trait. Okay.
Anytime a person has a trait, just remember this key thing. Is that they're going to always have more normal red blood cells.
A trait going to have more normal blood cells, okay.
If a person has a disease, they're going to have more abnormal red blood cells.
Okay.
So in the case of a person with sickle cell anemia or SS, they're going to have those red blood cells. And a lot of people say shaped like a half moon. I've heard people say it look like a banana. And all. So that's the shape of those with person with sickle cell anemia or SS. If a person has sickle cell trait, even though you hear the word sickle, if you did a blood smear and looked at their blood in the microscope, they're going to be normal and look like a normal red blood cell.
So it's going to be round, spongy, and it's going to pass through.
Like a donut without a hole.
A donut without a hole, okay.
So that's the key difference is when you have sickle cell trait, they're nice and round, or you're going to have more normal red blood cells. If you have a disease, they're going to be more abnormal.
Okay, let me have Beverly jump in here. Let me tell you why I want Beverly to jump in. Because, Beverly, I just heard Jackie talk about the sickle cell trait.
Mm-hmm.
And she talked about how the blood cells are all nice and round and they're bouncy. A donut without a hole. But here's the thing about these athletes that have the sickle cell trait, but yet they have had some diagnoses or symptoms, should I say, not diagnosis, symptoms like the disease. So explain that for me.
It is very important that if persons are going to participate in sports, that they be checked for a sickle cell trait. And that is because under extreme conditions, such as rigorous exercise, there have been athletes that have collapsed and fallen dead. So now the NCAA requires athletes that are going to participate in sports to be checked before they come into college so that the athletic trainers and coaches will know whether or not that child has sickle cell trait. Now, that doesn't mean they can't participate in sports, but you know how most coaches are. You're out there running on the football field and you're sweating and you come over to the side and you tell the coach that you're not feeling quite right. What is he going to say?
Well, you better get back out on that field.
Suck it up and go back out on the field. So if the coaches know that this child has sickle cell trait, they have to pull them aside and get their medical attention to make sure that everything is all right. So even we have even professional athletes that play with sickle cell trait, but it's very important that coaches know that these individuals they need to stay hydrated. And also in college, the coaches let them also kind of build up their routine gradually,
okay,
as opposed to them just getting out there and going 110%.
Okay.
Right.
So let me tell you why. Well, I have kind of put this together. So you said that a child that's going to play sports in college have to be tested.
Uh-huh.
And Jackie said every child from 1980 on has been tested. So there are some things that can kind of slip through the system sometime, and a child or a parent still may not know if that child has the sickle cell trait or
well,
the sickle cell disease.
Sometimes the parents don't share that information.
Oh.
When they get it. You know, they might have the information, and for whatever reason, they might not have ever told the child that the child has sickle cell trait.
Okay.
So, but like I said, colleges now, the NCAA requires college athletes to be tested before they come in to play sports. Now, they can sign a waiver saying they don't want to be tested, and it doesn't matter, you know, what the race of the athlete is. They all are required to take that test.
Okay.
Unless they sign a waiver, which will, release the the college or university from any, you know,
ability,
to be sued, I guess.
Okay.
So, you know, unless they sign that waiver, they are required to take the sickle cell test so that they can have that information to show to the coaches.
Okay.
Now, but the only thing, Tabitha, sometimes, like I've had a couple of situations today, I went to a health fair on yesterday in Columbus, Georgia, and there were parents that came up, and I asked them if they knew their child's test result. Some said, well, they never gotten anything. So two that I looked up when I got back in the system, it was the same address that we're living at now. So we don't know what happened. One was born back in 2009.
Okay.
And I had another parent and the child was born in 2011. So things can happen with the mail.
Okay.
Then sometimes parents don't put the information up like they, you know, should retain in their information. So the best thing I would say, if you don't know your child's results, go and have your child test.
Okay.
We have established a partnership here. This is one of our programs here with our laboratory. So we do test in-house, but we also, let's say if it's a person down in the Savannah area or Valdosta, Waycross, it's not close to Atlanta,
mm-hmm.
we have a partnership with LabCorp. So what they can do is go on our website at sicklecelltest.org, and they can take they can fill out the information, and it will tell them where they can go in their area and be screened. Well, when we get the information here, then we'll make sure that they get the information as to what the child's result or the person's results are. Talk to them, send them information, and make sure that they understand.
Okay.
The key thing, the other thing about that, too, is that, and when we're talking about testing, is that you have the correct testing procedure done. A lot of places only do something, it's outdated, but there are some places that still do something called a sickle dex. A sickle dex will only pick up whether a person has sickle cell, but it doesn't tell you whether it's sickle cell anemia or sickle cell trait.
Oh, okay.
The other thing is, if they have some other type of trait, like the C trait you mentioned, or the beta thalassemia trait, or the E or the D, it won't pick it up at all. So the type of testing that a person needs to request if they want it done is something called hemoglobin electrophoresis. Again, that's hemoglobin electrophoresis, and that'll give the correct information.
So do we provide that here at
yes.
the Sickle Cell Foundation?
Yes.
Okay, so if a person wanted to get tested here, what do they do?
They just need to call the office
mm-hmm.
and ask to speak to our laboratory.
Our laboratory.
Yes.
And then they'll schedule them the appointment.
Yes.
Or you say they can go, if I lived in Savannah, Georgia, or if I live in Columbus, Georgia, and I don't want to come all the way up here to the foundation, what do I do?
You can go on our website to sicklecelltest.org and just follow the instructions.
Oh, okay. Sicklecelltest.org and follow the instructions there. Okay. Well, Beverly, I know that, you know, something else has taken place and a lot of people may not be aware of. We understand that today, when you're getting ready to get married, remember back in the day when you was going to get married, there was a mandatory blood test. Well, those blood tests are no longer mandatory any longer. So now two people can possibly get married and not be aware that either one are, you know, carrying a particular disease or the trait, you know, so forth and so on. So with that being said, how do we get the word out that everyone, if you don't know your results today, everyone should be tested? What do you say the top three?
Well,
tell us the top three.
Tabitha, I would suggest that if you don't know your hemoglobin type, then everybody should be tested.
Okay.
But especially if you're planning to get married.
Okay.
You're thinking about having children.
Okay.
And, of course, athletes should be tested. And so if you're thinking about planning a family, then you know that what your results are will determine what your children have.
Okay.
So it's important to know whether or not your mate carries a gene that could be passed on to your children. And don't necessarily, I don't have anything. My parents don't have anything. you know, just say, okay, well, this, you know, come to our test, find out what your results are, what your mate. And that way you can make an informed decision.
Well, how much are the tests here at Sickle Cell, and what are the methods of payment?
Well, the test cost, what we charge is $40. However, we know that it costs a lot of
money. Beverly, I don't think anybody carries cash anymore.
I carry cash, okay? Good old-fashioned cash. credit card, or even we can pay through, we have PayPal where a person can pay.
Okay. Let me ask you one more question about this testing, and then I promise we're going to move on. Is this just a Black person?
No, it is not. Like I said, everyone should be tested. Sickle cell is not only found in the Black population. Sickle cell originated as a way to protect the body against malaria. So persons who can trace their ancestral backgrounds to Africa, Southern Europe, and the Mediterranean area can also have sickle cell disease or sickle cell trait. So that's why it's important that people don't say, well, it's a Black disease. No, it is not just a Black disease.
Well, I'm glad you clarified that, because I know that I have had some inquiries about that as well. And I just wanted, you know, everyone to hear that it's just not, you know, in the African-American population that can have this this disease. So let's go ahead and move forward. So, Jackie, we know that now you guys have said quite a few things already. So Sickle Cell Foundation of Georgia provides education and counseling. You guys educate the parents and the moms on, you know, the children's results. You also said that you do testing now, sicklecelltest.org. They can come inside of the organization. They can get a test. Or if they don't live here locally, metropolitan area, they can go online and follow the instructions with our partnership with LabCorp, and they can get tested. You also said that you go out into the community. You do community health fairs, which I think is phenomenal, the education. Now, out in the field, when you say you're doing health fairs, do you also do blood testing in the field?
Yes, depending on our request.
Okay.
Sometimes, you know, we get requests of health fairs just to provide information, and other times we get requests to provide testing. So it just depends on what is requested from us.
Okay. So you do testing. And then on top of that, Jackie, you said that you have, what did you say you had? Oh, you had your education, your counseling with the parents. So I know that the foundation has a host of other programs and services. So between the two of you guys, why don't you tell me about some of the programs and services? But we have to kick it off by telling them about the most exciting program that we have coming up next weekend, next Saturday, as a matter of fact. We're all busy running around getting together for that. But what is that program that we have coming up, that event, should I say?
Well, it's an event that's coming up next Saturday. It is
Woo-hoo!
So we want to encourage everybody to come out. Celebration begins at 7, 8. Now, you can also register online. We also encourage those, if you know how we'll put things off at the last minute. So don't let that discourage you from coming out if you forget to register online, but you can also register the day of. But you can give them more information about registering online, okay?
Yeah, well, it's really easy. The only thing they have to do is go to www.sicklecellrace.com, www.sicklecellrace.com. If for whatever reason you don't want to go and do the online application, which is one of the first links there, you can also feel free to download the paper application. You can fax it in, and you can email it in to us as well, or you can drop it by the office. It's completely your choice. So we have several different ways that a person can get registered. And as Beverly said, you know, we really would like for everyone to get pre-registered as soon as you possibly can. You know, we would like for you to encourage you to create a team, because it creates momentum and synergy and energy. A lot of excitement there. We have several teams already leading. Right now, the team that's in the lead is Team Fullerton County. And then secondly, we have UPS team that is coming right up behind them. And then we have Team Brett, Lakeshore High School, right here inside of Atlanta, Georgia, have a pretty nice team growing. And American Red Cross Southern team has a good team growing. So we highly encourage you to participate. Get registered early. We're going to have a nice run and a nice walk. Oh, and then don't forget, our walk is RRCA certified, as well as the Peachtree qualifier. So, ladies and gentlemen, if you need your points, you need your time, so you can qualify to Peachtree, absolutely come and join us next Saturday, April the 8th. So go ahead on and tell us about the other programs we have.
Well, another program we have here is our Camp New Hope. That's for children with sickle cell disease from age 6 to 17 years of age.
Okay.
And the most important thing about it is these children really haven't had the opportunity to go to a lot of camps because they have a chronic illness.
Okay.
But our camp has hematologists on staff, MDs, nurses. They make sure that medications are given. And one other thing that's unique about it is that our counselors, some of our counselors are sickle cell individuals with sickle cell also. So the children can have someone that they can relate to or someone that they can talk to about maybe issues that they are having. Our camp is July the 23rd through the 28th.
Okay.
And one thing that we focus on in our camp is building self-esteem and to let them know that sickle cell may be a part of them, but it doesn't determine that who they are to whom they will, whom or what they can become. So that's one of our key things with our camp. And we're very proud of our camp. It's been in existence for quite a while.
And, you know, another thing about our camp a lot of people are not aware of, last year, November 2016, we were certified by the American Camp Accredited Association. So we are accredited now, and that means that we just have a high level of achievement and excellence as it relates to our camp. And so, like you said, it's medically supervised 24/7, you know, while the kids are there. And so the parents can feel safe and secure that, you know, someone is going to be there to tend to that child. And in fact, you know, they have a crisis and they're not feeling really well. And then the other thing about our camp that I'm really excited about is that children get to be children for a week. You know, they get to see other kids like them, you know, with this disease. And so when they come there, you know, I seen them fishing. I saw them swimming. I saw them doing all these different activities. And it was just a bunch of laughter. And the thing that we know is that once they come, they always want to come back.
That's true. And they get a little chance to get away from overprotective parents.
Yeah, oh, yes. The parents, what they call it, separation anxiety.
Right, yeah. But the parents are the ones crying when they leave, not the children.
This one lady said, can I volunteer so I can be up here with my child? No,
go
home.
No.
You cannot go to camp with your child. You have to go home, parents.
And another thing about camp, too, is children may be upset or worried when they leave since it's the first time leaving. But when they come back, they're totally different. They're more independent. They have more things they want to do. They have a whole different outlook on life. That I'm not any different than anybody else.
Well, Jackie, tell me about your experience, because I saw one child that started the camp like 6, and he's now like 16, 17, and he's like, you know, towering over you like this big tree. And the kids just love Miss Jackie. So, but how does that make you feel, you know, to know that you have relationships, kids that are, you know, 6 years old when they start out camp, and here is now, you know, they're 16 and 17. So how does that make you feel watching them grow up with the sickle cell disease?
Well, I don't have any children, so all of these are my children.
Oh.
So I'm very, very protective of them, number one. And it makes you feel good to know how they started school.
Wow.
So it says a lot. And then I try to get the ones that say the young ones. Young 20 contact with those children has to go through background checks. We do federal, county, state, all background checks. That's a
do not play when it comes to our kids. We are very, very safe with our children. So thank you so much for that, Jackie. And if you have not registered now for camp, we are ending our camp registration on April the 30th. And the reason for that, ladies and gentlemen, is because we are becoming so jam-packed. It was kind of interesting. The parents that was waitlisted last year, they were the very first ones to register their children this year as soon as we opened camp in January. And so we're already almost full. So I highly encourage you that if you want to get your child in to camp this year, July the 23rd through July the 28th, that you take your time and go online to Sickle Cell Camp and go ahead, sicklecellcamp.com, and go ahead on and register them today. And so, Jackie, you want to talk about any other programs or services?
There's another program that we have that's called Get Connected.
Get Connected, okay.
Get Connected is very special. It's a national program. And what this program is a patient-powered sickle cell registry.
Okay.
So in other words, the patient owns the information. And if you're interested in that, you can register or on for this registry through our camp chip room. Excuse me, for our certified community health workers.
Yeah.
And what they do, they try to make sure that persons that have sickle cell disease have a primary care physician, that they introduce them to resources in the community that they may need, and that may be looking for employment, that may be housing, that may be getting furniture, whatever their needs are, our community health workers try to address their needs.
Okay.
So it's very, if you're interested in getting in the program, get connected, please contact the Sickle Cell Foundation of Georgia and ask for our community health workers.
And we have five total community health workers, and that's Asabi Jeter. We also, and she's our senior community health worker, really facilitating the program. Then we have Natasha Cook, we have Princess Griggs, we have Ashley Catchings, and we have Kimberly Terry. So, ladies and gentlemen, they're on our website as well. You can go to sicklecellga.org, and at the very top, you'll see Get Connected. Click on there. It'll give you a short summary and a bio about each one of our community health workers, but they will be a huge resource for you as it relates to, like, a furniture bank, assistance with SNAP, and Beverly's going to talk a little bit about SNAP in a minute, but they can be a huge resource to you as it relates to the different resources available here inside of the state of Georgia. So make sure you give the community health workers a call. So Beverly, now that leads us into the next one about SNAP. Tell us a little bit about SNAP. Do it. I need a SNAP. SNAP. Oh.
All right, Calvin. a few years ago, we received a grant in order to become a SNAP outreach center, and SNAP stands for Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, formerly known as food stamps.
Thank you. I was going to say, because we don't know what that meant.
Okay. Well, anyway, we are a SNAP outreach center, and if you think you have some friends, family members, if you think you're in need of please come to our office. Okay, that's not in our hands, but we can help you. Apply online, and also you can also put persons who want to come in to apply for Medicaid or child care, or if you just want to renew your application, you can come in. The best thing to do is to call and make an appointment, but we do accept walk-in, and so these are some of the additional programs that we have here.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, give us 1 minute, please. We're going to go to commercial break, and we'll be right back with you.
Hi, this is Evander Holyfield, asking you to help break the sickle cycle. Sickle cell is a painful blood condition that affects babies, children, and adults here all around the world. This is a fight we must win. So join me and become a champion for sickle cell.
Help break the sickle cycle. Join the annual Sickle Cell 7K Road Race and 4K Walk in East Point, Georgia. This RRCA State Championship Race, a Peachtree Qualifier, is held on the second Saturday in April, starting at Tri-Cities High. Organize a team and honor someone you know with sickle cell. Join the Sickle Cell Foundation on Saturday, April 8th at 9 a.m. Register today at sicklecellrace.com. That's sicklecellrace.com.
Well, we're back. Thank you so much for holding. So, Beverly, you know, you told us about this Supplemental Nutritional Assistance Program, better known as food stamps, and you said that people could come here, they can apply, and you can also go to them and help them apply. Is that correct?
Well, we are not just go to persons individually.
Okay.
Now, sometimes we'll get requests maybe to go to a church that might have a number of persons, and you can set up an appointment for us to come out and do like a group, or we can go. Also, we get requests to come. Lately, we've been going to different schools to talk about our programs so that people can get the information so that they will know what type of programs that we have here. So we pass out that information, and then persons have come in as a result of that, you know, because they've received the information, and they know that we are right here in the community, and we can provide those services for them.
Okay, so if a church wanted you to come out to do a presentation, you could come out to a church,
right.
And then from there you'll pass out and talk about what the program will do and what how it can assist,
right.
And then you'll go back and then actually accept the application.
Well, if we have enough clients that they want us to come back, but you know, we encourage people. You know, we're right here in the community just to, you know, come on into our doors. And like I said, we accept walk-ins. And but if you want to make sure that, you know, somebody's going to be here that day you come in, because sometimes we're out in the field.
Okay.
So that we don't want you to come up here and then no one is here to accept your application. So, you know, call, make an appointment so we can schedule you for an appointment and someone will be here to can assist you to file your application online.
Okay. All right. So you told us about SNAP. You told us about the community health workers. You told us about Get Connected. You have this phenomenal event coming up. We now understand about camp that the foundation offers. We understand that you guys now do testing all over the state of Georgia, which is really powerful. That's a powerful testament to the organization. And so you guys have a lot of things going on that I don't think many people were aware of. And so how do we continue to get the word out about the foundation? I mean, I know one way for sure. Everybody can follow us through social media. We have a Twitter account. We also have a Facebook account. We're doing more Instagramming than we've ever done before. Now we're starting to get really into Snapchatting. And then we have this educational format that we're going to be utilizing to interview different guests about, you know, different things that we're doing here at the foundation. So there's a lot of outlets that we have and pushing the information out there inside of the marketplace. So, Beverly, what do you suggest as it relates to, you know, what else we can do to help get the word out about the foundation?
Well, Tabitha, I'm an old dinosaur, and I know you all are into all this social media activities, but I'm not. I feel the best way to get the word out is through word of mouth, through families and friends. Spread the word to family and friends.
Well, hey, I agree with that. I do not knock that. And guess what? I'm that person that still go to my mailbox. I like getting my stuff through my mailbox. So people can always send me a letter or, you know, a something through the mail. I like going to my mailbox. Jackie, what about you? What advice would you give on how people stay connected with the foundation and get more information about the Sickle Cell Foundation of Georgia?
Well, they, you know, through the information that we send them as far as the newborn screening. But the other thing is volunteering for the organization. We have so many opportunities here for volunteering. Like now, we especially need counselors for camp, more so the males. So we need male counselors for camp. Of course, we need the female counselors. If you're a nurse and you want to volunteer for nursing, we need nurses and all of those.
Okay.
So I would say suggest volunteer. Like we need volunteers, we could use them at the race. And we will have in the month of September, we have the sickle cell walk that we do. So we'll need volunteers for there too.
Okay.
But as Beverly said, a lot of it's good by word of mouth.
And the one thing that you guys keep saying, you're saying, what did you say about aging with maturity? What did you say, Jackie?
Instead of saying old,
yeah,
say mature in age.
Mature in age, okay. So as we realize that the foundation has mature in age, we also have developed something here that's really powerful, and it's our youth leadership group. And that youth leadership group is really starting to take the reins as it relates to, you know, the foundation and starting to plan some different committees, and they're doing different things. And they're very fundamental inside of our camp planning. So they do a lot of the planning for the camp activities because, number one, they have experienced it. They're sickle cell patients themselves. They understand what a child may go through. They understand what kids may like, so to speak. So that's another thing that the foundation has done. We're now starting to really engage, educate, and energize inside of that community because we realize that 18 to 24, that transition community is going to be really, really huge and very, very fundamental in us making sure that we get out there to educate them on what they should be expecting as they're transitioning from the pediatric care to the adult care. So as we talk about that, Jackie, that transition process, what advice would you give to a child that is transitioning from pediatric care to adult care?
Well, let's start back before the child and
okay.
start with the parents.
Okay.
And people say, well, when does transition start? Transition starts at birth. When you, because if you don't have a child that has sickle cell, now you have a child with sickle cell, that's totally different. So transition starts from birth. And the challenge that we have a lot of times is that, I hate to say systems, but with parents as one system, pediatrician as another system. It's like they cuddle a child too much. You have to let them be independent too. And once they get a certain age, you know, when they take them to the doctor, parents, be quiet. Let the child talk. Let them know, be able to tell the doctor how many milligrams of the medication they take, what the medication is for, and how often they should take it, to notice things that are happening to their body so they'll know when it's a possibility of they may be getting ready to have a pain episode. But when they get 18 years of age and it's time for them to leave that pediatric care, and when those things that I just talked about have not occurred, then they're out there, they're just thrown out there, old-fashioned saying is thrown to the wolves, because they don't know what to do. And when they become an adult, the medical system doesn't hand carry them anymore. You're on your own. You got to make your own appointments. You need to know you need to have a cardiologist. You may need a neurologist. So there are a whole lot of different things that you need to put in place. So we need to start training young people at an early age. It should start at, as I said, it starts at birth. So when your child is little, teach them. Teach them they need to drink water. Teach them and tell them why they're taking certain medications. For example, they may be in a hospital, and nobody may not be there with them. And if somebody come in, I can't take that, I'm allergic to that. You can't use certain types of gloves on me. So these are little things that they need to know as far as taking care of themselves. Example, when a child is making a transition from pediatric to adult, and they may want to go to college, make sure that you can call a foundation. We have other community-based organizations around the country, and you may need to know, you're going to need to know a physician or where the best care is. So you get all of that information in place first.
Before you go to another state for college. Yes. That makes sense. That makes a lot of sense. Okay.
So it starts, you know, transition is for, of course, for the client or for the individual that has sickle cell disease, but it's also for the parents. And parents, you have to cut those apron strings.
Well, thank you, Jackie. I really appreciate that. And I think that's a very encouraging information, advice that you're giving both to the parent and the child. You know, I know we had a young lady that was in just recently. Her name is Kobe. And she came in and she just wanted, you know, talk about very quickly her transition. So, you know, we know that that's very, very important. And the one comment that she made is that she felt free. That when the doctor started talking to her about her transition, opposed to talking about her parents, she now understood what she needed to do for herself. And so she's getting ready to go to college. And so that was very important to her. So Beverly, now we know that sickle cell, every time we hear sickle cell, right? We know because when I was in high school, several students that were in high school that passed away, they didn't graduate. Really understand it then, understand now. We also know that, and that's why we have rebranded and we're starting to say living well with sickle cell. Because although you have the sickle cell disease, although you may have the sickle cell trait, you can still live well with sickle cell. So Beverly, tell me, what does that mean to you when we say living well with sickle cell, and how can we convey that message to everyone that we're coming in contact now with that has sickle cell?
Well, Tabitha, when I first came to the foundation in 1986, people often felt that if you were diagnosed with sickle cell, the average life expectancy was 20 to 30 years.
Oh, okay.
Now, I don't put a number of years on how long a person might live with sickle cell, because we know individuals who are in their 40s, 50s, 60s, and 70s. And so living well with sickle cell simply means that it is not a gloom and doom situation.
Okay.
That everyone with sickle cell, not everybody is the same. And it's important that persons understand that they maintain their health care, do things that's going to be very instrumental in them living a normal life expectancy and enjoying life. So it's no longer the gloom and doom scenario. When I came to the foundation in 1986, persons are living a lot longer and they are living well with sickle cell.
Well, Beverly, on that note, I think we have concluded our first program. I'm so excited to say living well with sickle cell. You know, that's what we want to teach. That's the message that we want to convey. You know, we want to make sure that we're engaging everyone. We are educating everyone and we're energizing our community so that they can live well with sickle cell. So, ladies and gentlemen, we would like to thank you once again for joining us tonight. And before we go, we have one more quick commercial to play for you, and then we'll go ahead on the end of our program.
Hi, this is Evander Holyfield, asking you to help break the sickle cycle. Sickle cell is a painful blood condition that affects babies, children, and adults here all around the world. This is a fight we must win. So join me and become a champion for sickle cell.
Help break the sickle cycle. Join the annual Sickle Cell 7K Road Race and 4K Walk in East Point, Georgia. This RRCA State Championship Race, a Peachtree Qualifier, is held on the second Saturday in April, starting at Tri-Cities High. Organize a team and honor someone you know with sickle cell. Join the Sickle Cell Foundation on Saturday, April 8th at 9 a.m. Register today at sicklecellrace.com. That's sicklecellrace.com.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, we want to end by again saying thank you so much for joining us tonight. By all means, if you have some questions about anything that was discussed tonight, feel free to do one of two things. Number one, you can always email us at marketing@sicklecellga.org. That's marketing@sicklecellga.org. Secondly, you can always call us at 404-755-1641 and ask for one of our educational counselors. So again, thank you so much, and please go ahead on and mark your calendar with Save the Date for April the 20th, ladies and gentlemen, at 6:30 p.m., same time, same channel. We'll see you then. Take care. Good night. Good night.
Good night.